Turning your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua in chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And we will just look at a couple of verses there, verses that I am sure you're familiar with. Tonight's message will not be anything that you've not heard before, I'm assuming, but it will be a challenging message, I believe. It's the message the Lord laid on my heart. Joshua 24. And verse 14 and 15, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says there, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In Sunday school, we've had the opportunity to go through the book of Joshua recently, and we've been looking at the final battles that God brought to the children of Israel as they entered the promised land. You remember, of course, they went against Jericho in the very beginning, and God mightily and miraculously brought the walls down of Jericho and gave them victory there. They had some sin in the camp, and when they went against Ai, it was a disaster at the beginning, and some men died, and they were discouraged. But when God revealed the sin, they dealt with the sin, and God gave them victory over Ai. Shortly after that, they made the mistake of making a league with the Gibeonites, which they should not have done. They didn't ask of the Lord for his counsel. And so they were fooled by the Gibeonites, and yet God used even their mistake to bring about a great battle where several kings got together and attacked Gibeon, recognizing that Joshua would probably come to help them and to try to overthrow Joshua and the children of Israel, and yet God gave the children of Israel victory. And then in Sunday school, at least in my class this morning, we were in the section of scripture where we learned about the final big battle that happened during Joshua's lifetime, where God allowed several kings to come together against him, and God said to Joshua, "Fear not, tomorrow about this time, I'm going to give you the victory." And of course, that happened. Well, now in Joshua 24, we find here that Joshua is done with those battles, and God gave the children of Israel the land, and the land has been divided, and all of that, and Joshua comes now to really the end of his life, and what a life he has had. What a faithful man of God, one of the few men of God of whom the Bible really has nothing negative to say. He is a picture, I believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name means the same thing, and he is the one who, when Moses, a picture of the law, could not bring them into the rest that God had promised, Joshua, a picture of Jesus, our Savior, was able to give them rest. It's a beautiful picture. But as Joshua is at the end of his life, he brings the people before him, and he basically calls them to make a decision on whom they are going to serve when Joshua is done. And from that, we can learn a great lesson. Now, verse 15 is one of those verses that you'll see on many a door of a Christian family, right? You'll see a plaque that says something to this effect, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's wonderful, it's great, nothing wrong with that. But I wonder how much we really mean what we say when we put it on a plaque on our door. This is a call for you and me to make a decision. And tonight, it'll be a real simple message, Lord willing, a very brief message as well, to remind all of us that God wants to call us to a place of decision. And that we can't put that decision off. It shouldn't be something that we do later, but rather, as he says here, we should today make the decision that we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to break verse 15 down into just four different parts. But before we do that, let's pray and we'll get right into it. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity this evening to open up your word and to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Thank you for the privilege and the honor, Lord, and I know that someday I will give an account to you for this ministry that you've given to me. Lord, this great privilege, I know that someday I will stand before you and you will call me to account for what I did with what you gave me, that you've given me your spirit, you've given me your word, you've given me a people to minister to. Lord, I confess before you that I am not worthy of the ministry, and yet you've allowed me to have it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would please enable me tonight by your Spirit. Lord, even as our missionary presentation said, that you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Lord, I pray that you would use this very weak vessel tonight to do a great work for the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. He is worthy that we as a church and we as individuals, we as families would live for him and bring honor and glory to his name. And Lord, I ask that tonight you would use this message as a catalyst to help all of us as individuals, as families, and as a church to live for Jesus. Would you let many decisions be made tonight that will bring fruit to your account? In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is A Call to Make a Choice. A call to make a choice. So as I broke this verse down, verse 15, I broke it down into really four areas that Joshua focused on. The first area was, I've titled it this way, he said, or asked the question, do you think it's evil? Let's look at the verse again, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now, I've worded it differently. I hope you understand that. And the Bible is right, and I'm just wording it in another way. But do you think it's evil to serve the Lord? That's really what he's asking them. Now, think about what that word evil means. We think of it as evil as in sinful. That's not the way it's intended here. That's not the context of it. Does it seem evil to you means, is it something that you think would not benefit you? It's not a good thing. It's not the right way to follow through. It's not the right course of action. And that's really what he's asking. He says, if it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, is it something that you really think it's not the right way? And if so, then he's telling them to choose whom they are going to serve. But let me just ask you that question. Do you think it's evil to serve the Lord? Let me ask that of all of the adults here today, and I'm not expecting an answer from you, but if you're an adult and you have a family, you have a spouse or children, grandchildren, or maybe you don't, but you're of an adult age, middle age, or around there, let me ask you this question. Do you think it's evil to serve the Lord, or do you think it's the right course of action? Let me ask that same question of those who I would classify as young adults, maybe those who are in my Sunday school class in that age group, the college and career age. Do you think it's evil to serve the Lord? Do you think it's the wrong course of action? Let me ask that same question to the teenagers. You already know what I'm going to ask, right? Do you think it's the wrong course of action? Do you think there's some better way for you to live your life? And then we go on down even to the younger children. Do you really think that there's some other better way? That's what Joshua was asking them or stating to them in the form of similar to a question. Let me reveal to you why we might think it's evil to serve the Lord. Now, I don't think we would say these words, but a lot of times the reason we don't serve the Lord is because this is in the back of our mind what we really think. We really do think it's evil to serve the Lord. Not wicked, but just the wrong course of action. And here's why. Because we really think that God demands too much. Sometimes we don't serve the Lord. Listen, because we think God is asking too much of me. But if we think that God is asking too much, then that's because we forget who He is. And let me tonight very strongly proclaim to you in the best way I know how, of who God is. And friends, I tell you, as a pastor, it's one of my burdens is that I'm so weak and frail. I don't have the words. I'm not a great orator to tell you of who God is and why He is worthy of your life. But I'm glad that it's not dependent on me. We have the Word of God to tell us and the Spirit of God to do the convincing. And I'm glad that He does. And I'm praying tonight that through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, every single one of us would be convinced that God is worthy to ask, listen, anything of us. We watched a missionary presentation to the country of Nepal. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but let me just ask this question hypothetically here. and ask you how many of you would be super excited if God called you to live in Nepal? And if you're wise, none of you would have your hands raised. Because I know that, I know when I was young and I was a teenager, I often thought to myself, well, it'd be exciting to be a missionary. It'd be fun to do this and it'd be fun to do that. But you know what? After a while, here's what it is. It's work. After a while, you get up in the morning and you recognize, you know what? I no longer live in the United States of America. There's not a quick trip down the road to go get myself a cup of coffee or a pint of ice cream. In fact, they don't even know what ice cream is. And it's dirty. And the culture's different. And the language is different. And I don't understand people. And, you know, they look different at me. And when I'm there in the market, everybody's staring at me because I'm the only person with lighter skin there. That's just one scenario. Listen, there's all kinds of scenarios like that that missionaries go through all the time. And yet, let me say to you with the most confidence that I can say anything, that friends, if God called you to Nepal to live there, He is worthy that you would say yes. Let me say that again. He is worthy that you would say yes. I don't care who you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you have ahead of you. I don't care what kind of a job you'd have to give up or dreams you'd have to give up. If God called you or God called me to go there and serve Him with all of our life, listen, and never see a convert, He's worthy that we would say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. He's worthy. But sometimes we don't serve Him because we think He asks too much. Look with me at Revelation chapter number 4. It will be a verse that you are not unfamiliar with. Revelation 4, verse number 11. It's a scripture song that we sing, Revelation 4. And verse 11. Remember that these are the 24 elders that are around the throne, and there are the beasts there that give honor and glory and thanks to the Lord as on the throne. And the crowns are cast before the throne. And here's what they say in verse 11 of Revelation 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now notice the last phrases here. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Friends, we have a tendency to think that God created all things for our pleasure. And we tend to think that God exists for our pleasure. And we have a tendency to think that God gave salvation for our pleasure. And we think that God gives us this, and the church exists for my pleasure, and this exists for my pleasure. And we're wrong when we think that, friends. God created all these things for His pleasure. That includes you. You were created for His pleasure. And so when He asks anything of us, He's worthy that we would say yes. We not only forget who He is, but friends, we forget what He's done. You know this passage of Scripture as well, Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to turn there just so I get the wording right. I've memorized it, but I'm afraid I would mess it up if I tried to quote it to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then you know this next phrase, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends, it is our reasonable service that we would be a living sacrifice. Reasonable service. It is only what is right. Why? Because He gave Himself for us. And because He is the creator of all things. And so when He asks something of us, and we think it's evil because He's demanding too much, we're wrong. It's just reasonable that we would give our lives to Him. Don't tell me the sacrifices you've made. Don't complain to me about how the ministry has been hard and God's asked so much of you. And, you know, Pastor, I've served in the church for this long and it's been hard and this has happened and I've had to give up this. Listen, don't whine to me. Don't complain to me. God is worthy that you would give Him everything. It's only right. And by the way, I shouldn't whine to you either. It's a privilege to serve the living God. And someday when we get to heaven, we will not look back and say, oh, how much I gave for the Lord. We'll say, oh, I wish I had given him so much more. He was worthy of more. You see, we think it's evil to serve the Lord because we think he demands too much. And then here's another reason I wrote down. These are my thoughts. But listen, we think it's evil to serve the Lord because we think he won't make us happy. We think that he won't make us happy. Now, please let me caution you and say this. It doesn't matter if God makes us happy. It really doesn't. We live in a culture that has made happiness a god. Happiness and fun has become a god to us as Christians, and it shouldn't be. Again, he's worthy of everything. But as I read the scripture, here's what I know about the God that I serve. Interspersed with it all, he gives happiness and joy and smiles and blessing and everything my heart craves. He knows exactly what I need, and he gives it to me at exactly the right time. That's his nature. And I know that from reading the scripture, from seeing that he's a good God. Look at how he dealt with the children of Israel. What kind of a land, I asked my Sunday school class this morning, what kind of a land did God give them? Now, they waited a long time, didn't they? From the promise to Abraham that they would have a land and a nation and all of that, till the time that Joshua divided the land, that's a long time. Many, 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 many years. Several centuries passed. And yet when God gave them a land, what kind of land did he give them? It wasn't the Mojave Desert. Did you notice that? God gave them a land of bountiful, plentiful blessings. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Sounds like Wisconsin, doesn't it? The dairy state. It was a beautiful land. By the way, right along the Mediterranean Sea. You know, some of the most beautiful places in all the world are right along the Mediterranean. And that was the land that God chose to give them. God gave them a good land. And he blessed them abundantly and gave them, by the way, he talked about, right, if you read through the prophets, he talked about how he gave them, you know, families and gave them children, and their children would play in the streets, and there would be the sound of the bride and of the bridegroom. And God was saying, all of these beautiful things that I've given you, all of this joy and all this blessing, that is the nature of our God. Friends, that should not be what we are seeking, and yet we know that God will give it to us. So we think that God does not know how to make us happy. And I want to encourage you tonight that you should serve the Lord, not think it's evil to serve the Lord, because God knows how to make you happy. In fact, I would submit to you that God knows how to make you happier than you know how to make yourself. If you try to make yourself happy, you're going to fail miserably. I want you to understand that. I've never yet, and I've been in the ministry and around church all my life, I have yet to see anyone who leaves the things of God and tries to find happiness in the world who ever found it. Ever. What they find is heartache and misery and broken lives and all the rest. They never, when I see them, have this big smile saying, boy, this is the life. In fact, usually after a while they come back and say, my life's a mess. But I've watched many, 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 many people who gave their life to serve the Lord. And yes, there were trials. Yes, there were heartaches, but they had a joy and a smile that God gave. God will make you happy. So as we go back to Joshua 24, Joshua was asking, do you think it's evil? And I keep saying he was asking. He wasn't really asking, but he was laying it out there, if you think it's evil to serve the Lord, okay? I apologize for making that mistake. But here's the other thing that he would say then, is after he would say, if you think it's evil, he would then make this demand. I'm inserting my own words now here. Make your choice. Notice what he says in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He says, make your choice. And friends, here's why he says that. Because we are going to choose someone to serve. It's just the way it is. It's the way life is. We are all serving someone or something. So that's why Joshua is saying here in his final days, all right, if you think it's evil to serve the Lord, then make your choice. Who are you going to serve? And the ones that he talks about are the gods on the other side of the flood. In other words, the gods on the other side of the Jordan and on the other side of the Red Sea. Okay? God brought you through those floods. Are you going to go serve those gods? And then he makes the other statement and says, if you don't want to serve those gods, then you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Go ahead. Do you want to serve them or do you want to serve the Lord? If you don't like the idea of serving God, then make your choice. Who are you going to serve? And let me ask you that question as well. If you don't think it's worthwhile to serve God, then who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve the God of pleasure, of entertainment? Are you going to serve the God of wealth? By the way, good luck with that in these days. Have you watched the stock market? Again, I'm not looking for a show of hands, but anybody have in here have a 401k? How's that doing these days? Have any kind of retirement account or whatever? Have you looked at it recently? Let me encourage you, don't look at it, all right? You'll just be discouraged. Good luck serving money in these days. Good luck serving entertainment and all of these other things. Listen, make your choice because you will serve someone. And so what he would say is, he says, make your choice. And notice when he says you'll have to make the choice. Again, verse 15, choose you this day. Here's the thing. You have to choose today. You don't get to choose tomorrow. Now you might say, but Pastor, I don't have to make a decision now. Well, by not making a decision, you've made a decision. See, all of us, listen, let me make it more applicable. Let's not even say today, let's say in this service right now, you are making a choice. All of you who are hearing me and we're registering what's going on in our mind and in our heart, all of us are making a choice. You see, God's speaking to you and he's speaking to you about serving him and giving your life to him. And you are going to make a choice tonight as you respond, as God works on your heart. You're going to choose, am I going to serve God or serve something else? And I would encourage you to make your choice because it's going to happen. You will choose someone. And then I love how Joshua continues here in Joshua 24 and 15. He lists the different gods that they could serve, but the last couple of phrases he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what Joshua says. This is my third division of the verse. Joshua says, I've made my choice. I've made my choice. I put down in my notes, this is what real leadership is. This is what real leadership is. Joshua says, you choose. I've already made my choice. I've heard the statement. I've read some leadership books and listened to leadership podcasts. And usually there's some helpful things in some of them, but a lot of it just needs to be, I think, probably thrown away. Here's one of the statements that's made sometimes in leadership books and leadership podcasts. They say things like, do you want to know if you're a leader? Look behind you and see if anyone is following you. Ooh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? If anyone's following, then you're a leader. If no one's following you, then you're not a leader. I disagree. Here's a leader. A leader says, that's the way I'm going. You should follow me. But if you don't, it's okay. I'm going that way. That's a leader. That's what Joshua's saying here. He's saying, listen, you need to choose, and you will choose today. And if you think it's evil to serve the Lord, then you make a choice of what God you want to serve. But listen, I'm going that way. Now, you should follow me and serve the God that I'm serving, but whether or not you do, it doesn't matter. I'm going this way. And let me encourage you, that's leadership. Dads, husbands, that's leadership. You don't have the opportunity to, you know, take your wife by the hair and drag her along. Please don't do that, okay? With your children, when they get past a little bit of a young age, a lot of times the ability to kind of force them to do right goes away to some extent or another as they get older, especially as they get to be adults. But there is still leadership that's needed in their life, and that leadership looks like this. With a wife, it looks like this. Sweetheart, this is the direction God wants us to go. And I love you, and I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not going to force you to do anything. But sweetheart, I don't care what you do. I'm going this way. This is the direction God wants us to go, and I'm going this way. Please, sweetheart, follow me as I follow the Lord, because this is where I'm going. And children, listen, you can do your own thing once you get to be an adult. By the way, if you're in my home, you are going to do what I want you to do. I talked to a parent, not in our church, not this long ago, talking about an adult child living in their home and saying, well, you know, I know that, you know, they're an adult, and so we can only do so much. I said, good night. Does that kid live in your home? Yeah. Well, if the kid lives in your home, then you say, this is what you are going to do. If you don't like it, here is the ads from the newspaper, find yourself an apartment. But if you are living in my house, you are going to do X. I know that's a little foreign in these days, but friends, that's called leadership. This is what we're going to do. Let me encourage you to follow me as I follow the Lord. And I love that about Joshua. He says, this is what I'm going to do. Let me encourage you that those of you who have made a decision to follow the Lord, make it obvious. Let everyone know, I'm going to serve the Lord. Encourage others to follow the Lord. We live in a little bit of an age where we almost feel bad for having a strong opinion and being strong about anything. Let me encourage you, that's from the wicked one. God expects his people to be decisive, to, yes, be kind and gracious, but to be decisive, to be vocal about it, and say, this is the way we ought to go. Let's go this way. Let me encourage you to have that leadership as Joshua did. And then I love, as we go back to Joshua 24 and verse 15, I told you it'd be a simple message this evening. The fourth and final division of this verse is he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what Joshua knew. His house would follow him. His house would follow him. When he says, but as for me and my house, he's, yes, talking about maybe any children that lived in his home. I don't know. But at this point, Joshua is not a kid anymore. He's not even a middle-aged adult anymore. He's getting close to the end. So I doubt that he had little kids in the home. It is possible. I don't think when he's talking about that, he's talking about, you know, my 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, they're going to do what I tell them to do. I think when he says, as for me and my house, he's talking about the ones that are my descendants, my sons and their family, and my grandchildren and their family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I don't know exactly why he says that. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe he had talked to them already. Maybe it had an influence on them. Maybe they agreed with him and they said, yeah, grandpa, great grandpa, whatever, we're going to follow you. We agree with you. We need to serve the Lord. But I believe that what Joshua was saying is basically, I'm going to lead the way and I'm confident that my house is going to follow in my footsteps. Because I've been confidently leading my house, and this is the way it's going to go. And let me encourage you that your house will follow you. The Word of God still says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I realize that that verse is given all kinds of excuses. But I want to tell you that what the Word of God says is still true. That when we train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. And what that means is this, that as they are in our home, that we are training them, we are molding them, we are making them. The way I've heard it illustrated is much like an arrow. If I were much of an archer, and I'm not, I used to do a lot of it when I was a teenager and got pretty good with a bow when I was a teenager. But I'm not very good anymore. My daughter Abigail can cream me. But here's what I know. When you pick up that arrow, if you're smart, you make sure that arrow is straight. Because if there's the least bit of a bend in it, or if the fletching is off, that arrow is not going to go where you're pointing it. You can point it that direction, but that arrow is going to go in the direction that it is bent to go toward. That's the idea of training up a child, making sure that that child is bent straight to go the way you're aiming them, training them in that. Now, that happens, by the way, best when they're young. That means when they're little. That means when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Boy, parents, pour on the training, work on them, encourage them, love them, and be with them, and teach them what is right, and talk to them about things of God, and teach them to read the Bible, and serve the Lord, and all these things. But here's what will happen. Listen, they're going to go the direction that you lead them. So lead them right. Because someday you'll be able to say, if you do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me encourage you to make a decision today to serve the Lord. Because you're going to make a choice, so you might as well make it the right way. Choose to serve the Lord. Let's pray.